I am your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner from Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. On this week's show, we are talking with the founders of the Growing Oaks Program at Willamette University to discuss the work they're doing to restore native white oak habitats. Have you ever wondered why sometimes you see a single oak tree standing alone in the middle of an agriculture field? Well, it's because the Oregon white oak used to be the dominant tree species in the Willamette Valley, in habitats known as oak savannas and prairies. With its high tolerance to both extremely wet and dry conditions, and their big, beautiful crowns, this species has evolved to coexist and support many of the native flora and fauna in the valley. Due to increased ag development and the spread of faster-growing species such as Douglas fir, these habitats are seen very rarely now, and they're in rapid decline. So today I'm talking with David Craig, Grace Schifrin, and Angie Wang about what they are doing to address this problem. Hi, David, Grace, and Angie. Welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
Hello.
Thank you all so much for chatting with me today. I'm excited to get to know you and the program better. So can you tell us your names and your roles in Growing Oaks?
I'm David Craig. I'm a professor of biology at Willamette University, and I taught a course called Biodiversity and Climate Change, and it was in that class that I started collaborating with Grace and Angie on their big idea.
Hi, I'm Angie, and I am one of the co-founders of Growing Oaks, and for the duration of the time I was as a student at Willamette, I was one of the co-project leads.
Hi, my name is Grace. Like Angie, I was one of the student co-founders, and I was also the project lead with Angie while we were a student at Willamette. I'm an environmental science and biology major. Another fun fact about me is that I'm originally from Davis, California.
So I did touch on this a little bit already, but can you just tell us a little bit more about why the white oak is such an important species in the Willamette Valley, and what are the main factors causing the downfall of the historically dominant habitats?
I could start on this. We have three main things we really like to talk about when we first start talking about the importance of the Oregon white oak. The first is the ecology of the Oregon white oak. Then there's the cultural importance of the oak, and then the historical. And as you mentioned, this species used to be dominant here, and because of its really long history, it evolved to live on this land, and it was local for so many years. And because of that, it's evolved with this landscape and with different animals and plants around it. And this ecology is so specific to the Willamette Valley. It's very unique in that this biodiversity only really forms with the Oregon white oak. And because of this, there has also been the coevolution of the species with the humans who lived here, who were the original stewards of the land, and the indigenous people also helped evolve this habitat through cultivating the land with collecting acorns, through cultural burns and fires. And they also manage different plants. And I'm sure Angie could talk a little bit more about this and maybe some things I'm missing, but that's just a brief introduction.
Yeah. And with kind of building off of that, with the increase of agriculture, more people have just been populating in this area and in the Willamette Valley in general. And so urbanization is also a big factor in kind of causing a downfall of this habitat. And another thing with urbanization is also the expansion of wineries and the wine industry in the Willamette Valley. A lot of the areas basically where Oregon oaks and their just general habitat lives are actually also good areas for wineries to develop their grapes. And right. So basically a lot of wineries have taken those spaces and kind of cleared out a bunch of oak stands and disrupted the ecosystem there to increase their space to put in more vineyards and expand their areas as well. So that those two things have also contributed a lot to the decline of this oak habitat in the Willamette Valley.
Right. And that's why whenever I'm driving by a vineyard and I see just a huge old growth white oak standing in the middle of it, I get so excited. But, you know, it's a little bittersweet, like you said, because of the wineries moving in. That's why we have so much less of these habitats. And it's crazy to think about how many species they support, like you were saying, Grace, from one tree. It's just, it's awesome.
I'll add the Oregon oak as a tree is not threatened or endangered. Mm-hmm. And just for the listeners, the group here is very specific about that habitat. And then as you're noting, it's the structure, those really big old trees with those big, huge canopies are the legacy that we're really interested in preserving. Right. And there has been extraordinary losses in the 150 to 200 years of settler colonialism. And there's still 3% of that habitat left. And so there's, everybody can go and see these things in the Willamette Valley. Majority of Oregon's people today live in the Willamette Valley in that space from Portland down to Eugene. And so this is, these trees are important because it's where all of our culture and history is happening today.
And so that's why you guys are doing something about it. So can you tell us what is the Growing Oaks program and I guess what inspired you to start this at the university?
Yeah, I can take this question. So in the fall of the spring of 2021, we had this basically huge ice storm. And then previously in the fall of 2020, we had, you know, these huge blazing fires that kind of were just overshadowing, especially like in the Salem area. However, I wasn't physically on campus. I was at home in California during COVID, but I know Grace was physically on campus and I was talking to a lot of my friends, and these two events were basically very, very large factors in kind of the start of Growing Oaks, specifically the ice storm, as well as just kind of the social unrest that was happening throughout the time with the movement of Black Lives Matter and Stop Asian Hate. There was just a lot of tenseness throughout the campus. And, you know, with the ice storm that happened in the spring of 2021, a lot of these legacy oaks that Professor Craig was just talking about fell in the storm. And our school, Professor Craig, Professor Joe Bowersox, and Professor Karen Erebus started the Oak Salvage Project. And basically they collected cookies, which are just like rounds of the trunks or branches of the fallen down oak trees, and basically did analysis on the tree rings to count how old these trees were when they fell, kind of also trying to understand anything from like how much water was in that area, because oak rings could tell basically a lot of different things from climate conditions to soil conditions, etc. And seeing and hearing basically how many of these legacy oaks fell kind of started the idea for me. I had worked with someone back in high school who collected acorns from coast live oaks back down in California and basically planted them in his backyard and started basically his little own oak nursery. And so I applied the same idea to the Growing Oaks project and presented it to Professor Craig. And then it kind of blossomed from there. And then I reached out to Grace to have her co-lead with me. And basically the entire Growing Oaks program is, the foundation of it is to basically collect acorns from Oregon oaks and grow them into saplings for about a year and a half, and then redistribute them and replant them across the city of Salem and kind of outwards from there, and both in public and private properties. But once the three of us talked about what we wanted the project overall to look like, it became so much more than just the growing aspect. We wanted to reach out to the indigenous tribes that once inhabited the land here. So the tribes, the Confederate tribes of the Grand Ronde and the Confederate tribes of the Sluts Indians. And we also wanted to do political actions. We wanted to do community outreach. So it became much more than just growing oaks, physically growing the oaks. It became very interdisciplinary, and we wanted to do so much more than just the physical growing aspect.
So you did touch on how environmental justice was one of the inspirations and one of the core principles to the mission of the program. Can you talk a little bit more about how that is at the kind of center of it all, or how that functions with it and what you're doing in this program to restore some of the injustices that have been committed?
Environmental justice to us, as Angie said, when we first started, it wasn't really about environmental justice. But then as we started to have these ideas, we realized they all connected back to environmental justice. For us, this means not just being a performative group. And most tree planting groups are very performative, and they plant trees, and that's just that. And we wanted to do a lot more than that. And we wanted our actions to have meaning. And we wanted to build relationships with groups beyond Willamette, specifically, as Angie mentioned, with the local Indigenous people here and the tribes. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we were doing is that we wanted to reach out to these groups with intent. And when we first started thinking, like, why do we want to connect with these people? And what is our purpose? We really thought about it. And what we decided is that we want to help them in whatever they want help with. So they want acorns. I'm forgetting his position, but he is a biologist, I think, with the Siletz Indians. And he requested about 100 acorns. And so that was something that we didn't know was of interest of the tribe, but they wanted to grow those acorns out themselves and do it as a community group together. And so that was one of our actions that we first did, is we collected acorns and then donated them to him. And oh, since cool. then we've had a donation system where if someone requests acorns, we'll give them to them for free. Nice. And that's for anyone. And same with our oak saplings that we've been growing.
And so I know what David was mentioning earlier about the huge crowns on the legacy oaks. As far as I understand, those are the trees that really start to produce a lot of the acorns. So where would you collect the acorns from? And I guess, is anyone able to participate in getting one of these saplings, or like, who is it available to?
Yeah. So it's available to anyone that wants one. Through that, like Grace was saying, our donation form, we have not only a donation form for people that want to plant like physical saplings, so we are willing to give away acorns and established saplings that we've grown on our campus, on Willamette's campus. But we also have a form that you can dedicate a planted oak to anyone that you'd like. We have planted a few oaks at our Xena property that Willamette owns, and some of the people that helped us out filled out the donation form, and they have their, it's dedicated to people that they wanted to dedicate it to. So there's that as well. As for collecting the physical acorns, during our first semester of implementation, so that was the fall of 2021, that became a masting year. So there was a lot of acorns being put out by oaks. So it was a really, coincidentally, a really, really great time to start the project. And we initially, our first site was at a house of a reporter or a journalist at the Salem Reporter. And from there, she basically wrote an article about this that was published through the Salem Reporter. And from there, a lot of people were interested in our project. And through our website, they reached out to us and gave us locations either on like bigger land properties that they owned, or gave us areas in within the city of Salem where they've seen big oaks that we could go collect from. So they suggested a lot of different sites. And from there, we've kind of built up our database of locations that we collected from. In public spaces, we collected from areas around campus and a few other public places in the city of Salem. But most of our acorns that we collected were from private landowners and their properties, either in neighborhoods or out in like a bigger space where they owned like much bigger land. So they reached out to us, and then we kind of scheduled a time and we went out, and they came out with us and they told us stories about their oaks. and like kind of taught us about the history of the property itself, which was really, really amazing to hear. And then we collected acorns from there. Last fall, so the fall of 2022, because the fall of 21 was a masting year, I believe the oaks didn't really produce any acorns at all. So we just didn't collect last fall, but we still had acorns from the fall of 2021 in stock because we collected so many. And we have them stored in vermiculite, which is basically a material that keeps the acorns viable to seed. And they're stored in a fridge in the Olin Science building on campus.
I wanted to jump in and just share the Helen Caswell's, the name of the journalist that was really important in facilitating the local storytelling. And Helen was really inspired by Angie and Grace and the way in which they're communicating. And I just wanted to emphasize the deep sense of purpose that the group has in terms of anti-racism around primarily with the local tribes, but also the way in which Oaks, every culture that has developed in the area and company of Oaks has reverence for these trees and stories. And so that's been a way for us to connect our own heritages that as we understand them and know them. So I've done some reconnecting in terms of my Irish heritage. And we had an oak festival where we all learned about Korean oak jelly. None of us are Korean, but that was a thing that was a way that we could go and think about inclusiveness in a really big way. And then across the urban to rural gradient, like places like downtown Salem, where we have these homes that have big oak trees or out in vineyards, but lots of people from different backgrounds who might cancel out each other's votes or not be comfortable in each other's company all the time, agree that oak trees are really valuable. And so creates a spot for community making. Feels great. And so that's a really, really hopeful thing that Grace and Angie have made this space for conversation.
Yeah, like you said, it's something that can really connect everyone together. And wow, that would be just great to get a tree dedicated to you, because talk about a gift that keeps on giving. I mean, hopefully the tree will be around for 500 years, you know, it'll outlast you.
Actually mentioning that, that idea, I don't think it was either mine or Angie's. I think it came from someone in the Celestes that we were communicating with. And they really were excited about that idea because it was a way for any Indigenous person who wants to like have this oak tree be a family name and to continue that legacy. And so that form is open for anyone who feels connected to oaks. Like Dave said, they're from all cultures, from Central America, South America, Asia, Europe, everywhere. Everyone has a culture with oaks. You just might not know it.
What's really cool about the way that we collected our acorns is that we also have digital maps of all of the places that we've collected from, and we are in the process of continuously as we plant the saplings that we have growing out right now, we will also be also making location markers for those, and you can track back to see which tree that we collected from and like what area. And a part of that is seeing like the if there is a dedication of a tree, it will be in like a physical map layer and in our database.
So you can track your tree that you are growing up with and that's dedicated to you. You can check in on it.
Yes.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio. Today, we're talking about the Growing Oaks program at Willamette University. So we just went over the acorn collection process and all of the connections and community empowerment that comes from that across all different backgrounds and demographics and people in this area. And you did mention the Xena property, and I'm really curious to learn more about that. So that's something that's owned by the university. And can you talk about how that's used for the program?
Yeah, the Xena property is owned by Willamette, and it's about 15 minutes away from campus, and it's in West Salem. It's 305 acres, and it's mostly all conservation habitat, which could range from wetlands to forest to woodlands, and there is also about a couple acres dedicated to a small student farm and also just multi-use educational area. And specifically, me and Angie, the previous year, we wrote a document that we shared with Professor Craig and also the Zine Advisory Committee that was requesting to have a plot of land at the Zena property. And this plot would then be used for like an experimental oak habitat where we would plant some of our oaks saplings. And we would try and learn through different classes and connecting with Professor Craig's research students, what habitat or say different shade tolerances, water levels, different fertilizer mixes, or say even what biodiversity interacts with the galls and the trees and what birds like the oaks. Really, it just varies based on whatever student interest there is. And me and Angie wrote this proposal that was then approved. And we recently just planted our first oak saplings at this plot of land at Zena. And that was our main goal originally with Zena, is to have this area where we can try and just learn as young scientists what oaks really like and what they don't like.
Wow. And that's dedication, because oaks are slow growing, right? So you really have to be patient for that.
Yeah.
I'll just add one detail. The property is 305 acres. And it's got a special conservation easement through the Bonneville Power Administration.
Oh, really?
As part of a larger complex of properties, which are the single largest undeveloped piece of the Willamette Valley floor. Really? And we have neighbors, the Doiming family, which run Zena Forest Products, sustainable forestry, and they're exceptional stewards of their oaks and creating value-added products from oaks. And then our other neighbor is Ann Walton, who's happens to be an alum of the department and also is part of this greater conservation community out in that area.
The university bought the easements themselves?
That's right.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And then Ann's property is about 100 acres and the Doiling's is about 800 acres.
Okay. That's a lot of oaks that can fit in there. So you two are graduating very soon. So that being said, what is next for the Growing Oaks program and how can folks get involved?
Yeah, as Grace and I were transitioning out because we were graduating, we have now two new project leads, Isabella Stone and Adelaide Kemp. Isabella is going to be a rising senior, and then Adelaide is going to be a rising junior, I believe, and they're going to be the new project leads for Growing Oaks. And basically with the program, we kind of left it up to them to see what was going to be next. As of right now, they still want to continue our connections and our relationship and furthering that relationship with the tribes that we work with. Also just cultivation of more oak saplings. And then the rest is kind of up to them. And we have an Instagram. It's, I believe the handle is @WU Growing Oaks, all one word. Or we have a website on Wix. And I think it's just, if you look up Growing Oaks on Google, I think you can find it. But that's a good way to keep in touch moving forward. And if anyone would like to get involved with Growing Oaks, you can also always reach out to us via email or through the Instagram or through the website. And I believe our email is just growing-oaks@willamette.edu. And Adelaide and Isabella will get that email.
Nice. Well, that's awesome that they're going to continue to carry on this legacy and those really important relationships with the community that you guys have worked so hard to foster. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know them too and seeing where they go with the program.
One of the things you mentioned about how long oaks live, and one of the really thoughtful things that Grace and Angie did working on personal relationships and ways of getting people engaged and feeling like empowered to combat climate change, combat biodiversity changes, combat racism, with the simple act of planting a tree, the social engineering and invitations that they've done are really one of the most important parts of the group. And it is the hope that they'll continue to be interested as alums, and that this will be a long-term relationship that will grow with the sort of basic plan that there'll be co-leads who at any one point in time will sort of be our guides and how we support what the community needs.
I would also add that it's currently a team of about 10 student leaders that we had this past year. The three of us have done a lot, but those student leaders like Bella, Adelaide, and the rest of them who are still currently undergraduates, they will be continuing this on. And they have a lot of ideas too, and they're really excited to continue these relationships. And as Dave said, they recognize trees live a long time, and it takes a long time to grow. Like Angie said, a year and a half, it takes a sapling from to go from an acorn to a sapling that could be planted in the ground and succeed.
I'm so excited to see where it goes. I mean, we definitely need more people like you and the others who are working in the program too. So this last question is one that we like to end with to give listeners an idea of how they can make a positive change. So what is one conservation action that you would recommend people can take to improve oak habitat in the valley?
I can start on this. One of the things that growing oaks does is when we, a couple times in the past, like 2 years that Grace and I have been here, there have been some things that were brought to the city of Salem's attention there in the fall of 2021 and the spring of 2022. There was this property area in South Salem called Meyer Farm, and there was plans to clear out basically of oak savanna oak habitat and put in a bunch of residential homes. And one of the things that Growing Oaks did was submit a public comment to the city of Salem, basically kind of give evidence as to why the Growing Oaks team as a whole disagreed with the clearing of the entire area. And we asked for them to reconsider the entire plan and to save as much or preserve the whole area in its entirety or preserve as much of it as it as they can. Luckily, we found out later that the original plan, the decision on that got reversed. And so the people that were building the residential homes had to resubmit a new plan that conserves more of the oak habitat space in that area. And then we also recently, I think it was actually this spring or last fall, submitted another public comment to the city of Salem regarding tree codes. There's specific codes that dedicated to like whether you like cut down a specific tree or not. And a couple of our team members kind of did some research into how the tree codes reflect with Oregon Oaks. Basically gave them a bunch of evidence in saying how like the way that they're currently going about deciding like what trees to save and what trees to cut down and prune or things like that isn't the best approach, and gave them a bunch of evidence from classes that Grace and I have taken. You know, anytime anyone sees something going on in the city of Salem where you can submit a public comment that has to do with conserving oak habitats, especially even locally to the Salem area, I'd say it would be a suggestion for me to approach that and do an action like that.
Yeah, that's great. So kind of shifting the paradigm, giving the power back to the people.
Yes, taking more control of our urban landscapes and our urban green space.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
My suggestion is something I feel like many people do. We all go outside, but when you go, whether it's your local like park or your backyard, look at the plants that you see and do you know the name of them? Yeah. Do you know where they're from? A lot of the plants here are non-native. They're not local to this area, but they're native to somewhere. And what culture are those plants from? And who could use them as medicine or as food? Didn't grow up in a community that really like talked about like the true like cultural history of plants. And I feel like that's so important to recognize that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time non-native plants are really villainized, and I really don't think that should happen. And personally, I think everyone can start to recognize and start to learn about the plants around them. And one action I would say is if you have a property, plant an Oregon white oak or any other native plant, or connect with some heritage seeds, whether that's like cultural seeds, wherever you're from, start to grow with the plants and just recognize them for what they are.
I'll add, there's a book called The Nature of Oaks, The Rich Ecology of Our Most Essential Native Trees by Doug Tallamy. And he's an entomologist from the East Coast, but he has a whole chapter on the Oregon white oak because it is the most important single species of oak in North America in terms of the relative amount of contribution it makes to a region's biodiversity. The other thing I'd say is, you know, if you get an acorn, plant it. If you find a little oak tree, it's already chosen a spot, go and protect it. There's so many people in the Oregon, Washington, Northern California that care about oaks. You'll find those folks. There's a Oregon Oak Accord. There's a group called the Cascade Prairie Oak Partnership. Just start looking for oaks and enjoying them.
Yeah, join the community that's already working so hard to do this restoration in the valley.
There's a group of folks who are working on a 2025 Year of the Oak. Growing Oaks was invited to participate in the planning for that. The idea is to just grow the story of what we know about Oregon oaks and then do as much conservation. And then 2025, have kind of a statewide celebration as we sort of build capacity. So learn what you can and look for a big celebration in the future.
Oh, that's amazing. I'll definitely be keeping my eyes and ears out for that because that sounds awesome. All right. Well, any other thoughts you would like to share as we close out our chat?
I have a favorite quote from Maya Angelou. She says, "I can see in the acorn the oak tree. I see the growth, the rebuilding, the restoring. I see that is the American psyche. There is so much we can draw understanding from. One of the lessons is the development of courage. Because without courage, you can't practice any of the other virtues consistently."
Like I said, congratulations, Grace and Angie, on graduating this spring. That's so exciting. And thank you all for your time and your passion today. It's really inspiring to get to talk to folks like you who are doing so much about such an important habitat in this area. I've been talking with David Craig, Grace Schifrin, and Angie Wang about the Growing Oaks program today. And I've been your host, Chelsea Blank, Natural Areas Conservation Planner for Marion SWCD. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We are grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on this topic, please visit our website at marionswcd.net and our Facebook page for follow-up information.